Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. I'm no April Fool, but it is 4/1/2022. And I'll tell you what. The trick is to not be a fool. The trick is to have your relationship to be directly with Lord Jesus and with our Father in Heaven. And that is the trick. That is the good thing. That is the most profitable thing. That is the best thing. The best possible way for you to go in order to do what? To endure until the end. The same shall be saved. Yes. And, you know, here's the thing. How else can we describe what's going on this planet, which is a total onslaught, on all fronts, that is destroying, taking down, tearing down all of the things that have been built up? The government systems, the financial systems, the currency systems, the food production systems, the global energy production systems, and the return of warfare in the so-called Western area civilizations, like we've gone back in time. You know, the old story was, I don't want all of the property or land on the planet, just the land next to mine, you see. So I'm going to tell you, you can apply that and see that begin to happen as the societal systems, as the financial systems, as the banking disappears and the resupply of food and the growing of food. All of these things starting to disappear, and yet people are still out there saying, oh, well, I mean, this is America. It's not going to happen. Can't happen here. But it is happening. It is happening. And I'm going to tell you, we're already at a spot. If you were to do the statistics like they used to do them during the Carter administration, the Peanuts Carter era, we did the statistics about inflation differently, you see. You did the statistics about unemployment differently back then. And the reason they started doing them differently, because they were so horrendous back then, that they wanted to change that so that they could do it. The key thing on inflation, well, most people don't know. They say, oh, well, the price of this is going up. But the key inflation rate, you see, does not include fuel, housing, or food, or medical, you know, insurance, or, you know, medical care or drugs, you know, for prescriptions, that kind of thing. But the price of a pencil probably has stayed about the same. In other words, the old Ticonderoga, which probably still made in America, that was the best pencil I remember when I was a kid. There was different ones, but that was one of the ones that was the best one, I thought. But see, now they make all the stuff in China. I'm not saying Ticonderoga does, but pencils are made in China, ballpoint pens made in China. You see, socks are made in China, garments are made in China. You see, they do that, and then inflation is mild, okay? If we were to count inflation the way it was counted back in the Carter era, we're probably closer to 20% inflation annually. If you look at the 6.4% thing, that could be a tongue-in-cheek thing, and you can say, Well, yeah, multiply that times, you know, multiply that times 12. And it's not funny. It's ridiculous. And people are starting to really get it, and the bulldog is starting to bite. The bulldog is starting to bite. Now, where is it all coming from, you see? Well, out of Luke. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and to no, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which are the things, excuse me, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and they have not heard them. You see, it's eyes to see and ears to hear. And those who know Jesus are listening to his words, which I say are in the red letter edition in the old King James. And I'm going to tell you, you might as well just go ahead and get the one with the big print right away, because it ain't too long before you need it. And then you need the little dot on your nose glasses or the spyglass or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, the words themselves, you need to immerse in the words, but the key is to have the direct relationship. Repent of your sins to Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. And you'll have everlasting life with him in heaven if you're to lose your life, you see. If you're to lose your body on this planet or in space or in war, or if you are succumbed to a famine or to pestilence, or if you're in a spot where there's earthquakes in diverse places, wars, rumors of wars. This stuff is real. Now, I just wanted to say I was looking at the book by Thomas W. Chittum, Chittum, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. And he wrote this quite a number of years ago. He wrote it in 96. And it was published at the time by American Eagle Publications Incorporated out of Sholo, Arizona. But you could still possibly get one of these. But I was re-looking through it, and I was looking at a certain chapter, and the chapter was The Vicious Nature of War, okay? And it talked about the war front, the front that will be likely in America. And he's saying it here, in our first Civil War, when Vicksburg surrendered, the starving citizens were given food, not raped and murdered. It is clear that Civil War II, however, will be more like the war in the former Yugoslavia than our first Civil War because of the intense ethnic hatred that it will fuel it. As in Yugoslavia, food will be used as a weapon in Civil War. He says, I mention these hideous facts not to be sensational, but as a sober lesson of what America will become to when Civil War II sweeps across it. Now, that doesn't mean that it all erupts on these things, essentially. It could have an external cause, such as Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. And you got to understand that Klaus Schwab's is a mouthpiece for those who have the trillions. Okay? Kings, queens, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Lee families, other families that provided corn and grain to the Roman Empire and other places like that. People that own huge sections of countries. People that own hectares, thousands of hectares of lands in the largest aquifer in South America. Oh, didn't the Bush family buy, 900,000 hectares or acres or whatever in the biggest undeveloped aquifer? That's water. You see, the Ogallala aquifer which exists in the wheat belt of the United States, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, on up and down the line, the Dakotas. It's the Ogallala aquifer. It's a huge underground reservoir of water. But you see, that's been having been used and pumped up. And then with the increased production, which has been wonderful, of wheat and other crops because of irrigation, those large irrigation. If you've never seen them, if you live in West 72nd Street in Manhattan, you ask somebody where food comes, they say, well, from the delicatessen or the supermarket down the street. Where do they get it? Oh, I don't know. They might get it from Jersey or the Bronx. Hunts Point, produce market, And then Jersey probably produces everything else. That's about the extent of it, you see. But the fact of the matter is that if you get out there and you see in western Kansas or in Nebraska or in different places, you'll see these giant sprinkler systems that are on the central hub, and they go throughout the field and irrigate the fields. That Ogallala aquifer is starting to wind down. It's not done, but it's not being replaced. And then with the artificially weather X machinery, the technology they use to cause the Western drought, well, do you think that possibly that you're going to see some problems with produce? Where does a lot of our vegetables come from? They come traditionally from California, also up in Oregon and Washington State on some, fruits and things. But they come also from Florida, all right? And then do you think that it's kind of interesting that then in the wheat belt, which is talked about in Ezekiel, you see, the midst of the land where they have cattle and goods, you see. And then if we run out of the water because the drought has been created and weather has been manipulated in order to cause droughts, shortages, etc., rather than to allow it to operate as a system as it normally has, then pretty quickly, with the droughts and with the things being engineered, you see the reduction of cattle herds because there's no grass. I mean, it's dry. It's the pasture is different. The availability of hay at a decent price is not there. all of these things, and you have a herd of cattle that's at, you know, like a 1950 or 52 level in terms of the number of beef, well, then at that point, you say, and we talked about this in the last few years on this program, I have, where you had a population, you had a herd of cattle for about 140 million people in the population. Now, if you have, oh, they say 330, but I think we're closer with all the illegal aliens, all the millions and millions of people who have come across this border, and all the borders and have slipped into this country and the, you know, all the means and ways of being brought in, all right? Particularly under Red China Joe. I think we're closer to probably 350, 360, maybe 370 million. You know, somewhere between 330 and 400 million. So, but we still have a cattle herd for 1950 or 52, like 140 million people. And then you see the things like the chickens. All of a sudden, there's a magic big bird flu. You remember when I talked about the bird flu about 2005 that we saw being developed in the ducks and geese? That just happened to be at that era when allegedly the Lee family, which have some sort of a clinic in some sort of a research facility in Alberta, that then all of a sudden down the road out in the geese and, you know, and ducks, oh, it was a different bird flu. And now we got a different bird flu here and a different bird flu there. And, you know, it's all of a sudden now they don't want you to keep chickens because they said, oh, this was really first discovered in Illinois in a private flock that was in somebody's backyard or on somebody's small farm. Okay. And then in a few other states, you see. And then now it's widespread. And now eggs are starting to get pricey. And then chickens going up. Just at the time when chicken has become the hottest fast food item on the, you know, in the United States. And on the planet, in a sense. So there is a systematic nature to the destruction, you see. And Lucifer himself, if he's on the planet, or if his Asian tour, the other fallen angels are here, operating behind the scenes, and pulling the strings on the New World Order bankers and those that worship Lucifer, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the different people, you see, and the royalty, the British royalty, or the German royalty, the Regensburg Germany, or the Hess, you know, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, otherwise known as Windsors, you see. It's just very interesting that people do not get it because they don't understand what's happening. And then people say, well, how come you know so much? Don't you read blah, 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 how come you know blah, 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 blah? You've heard that kind of talk where they talk to you like that because they think you're the idiot. Meanwhile, you're talking to the vice president of the bank or you're talking to the superintendent of schools or a principal or somebody who works in a corporate accounting office or, you know, something like that, all right? And they're worrying about their tailor-made or paying, you know, $595 driver for their golf game, you see. And they think you're an idiot because you have done the research, you have looked into the stories, you have seen the stuff, you've listened to this broadcast list to Steve Quayle since the 90s, or to an Alex Jones, or to Doug Hagman, or to whoever it might be, all right? You've then done the research and gone and seen the stories. Yes, they're on the internet. And they always say to you, what do they say? Oh, don't I believe what you read on the internet. I say back to them, well, where the heck do you read your stuff at? They spend less time understanding anything beyond their specific vocational or business or job. They don't look beyond that except for a few little items that gives them pleasure, like, you know, like the old Tom T. Hall song used to say, older whiskey, you know, faster horses, younger women, older whiskey, more money, you see? And that's about the size of it. Ball game. And I like ball games. I played football. I played basketball years ago. But I did play football. And I was a lineman, not the running back. But ladies and gentlemen, you have people who are powerful people in societies that don't know jack doodly squat, okay? Because they don't choose to know, first of all, and even if they do read it, they have no ears to hear, they have no eyes to see it, actually. And even if they did read it and saw it, they wouldn't have any ears to hear the message. So consequently, you look in their pantries and they might have, oh, I don't know, 10 days, 12 days of food or something like that. And maybe they've got, you know, bought some beef and some chicken and some pork and different things and put it in a frozen food and they've got it and they've put it back, but not much. But you're going to need, if we have a, say, a 3.5 year great tribulation, whatever it is, let's just say you got 3.5 years of a great tribulation. And let's talk about some of the things that we're dealing with here that we're already starting to see appear. And I was reading and I was talking and entering into this from the Civil War II book. And they're talking about a stuff might break up in terms of a ethnically, you know, in different areas of the Southwest might be dominated more by Hispanics. Or parts of the South might be dominated more by blacks. But that could also be for major cities. It could be a lot of different things. But it doesn't have to be any of these ways except what will be the leveling thing. What will cause the societal edifices, the systems, the things that we kind of are there that give us an organizing principle of life or a structure. Well, like, for instance, police, or, for instance, the fire department, or, you know, for instance, the highway and roads crew, you know, that fixes the potholes or builds the road, or the water department, or whatever it is. The electricity lines. And therein lies a problem, does it not? Pop, pop, 2 EMPs over the United States. Some people say, oh, don't tell me all about that. You know, I've got the deal for my car, you know, or for the house. I've got my stuff in a Faraday cage. Yeah, but if you go out on interstate, oh, I don't know, 70, 40, 35, 90, whatever it is, I-5, whatever the your local hotshot, 80, whatever it might be, or just on the two-lane roads or the expressway or the bypass around your town of 20,000 or 30,000 or 50 or whatever it is, your county seat town, what are you going to do when the majority of the cars' electronic ignitions do not work? Read that book, One Second After, by William R. Forstchen, F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N. It's a Forge, F-O-R-G-E book, One Second After. It's about an EMP that takes place. And then in that one, it's like set in North Carolina, Black Mountain, North Carolina, Montreat College and all of that right there, Swannoa, all those areas, and you got... you know, different, towns and stuff that you can know about and you hear about or you've driven through or you live in. And look at what happens in that book. The power grid goes down and the cars are basically, it's a parking lot. It's a parking lot out on the interstate. In town, where you got two-lane roads and a lot of cars were in parking garages or at home or in the garage at home or in the driveway and that kind of stuff, they're there, but there are still some old cars like old VWs you know, 55 Chevys that still have the old motors and stuff in them and the old points, plugs, distributor cap, you know, rotor and all of that rather than the alternator, baltinator, and the electronic ignition. You still have some old Ford trucks and Chevy trucks and Dodge trucks that are still going to run because they're back from a different era and maybe you've got them and you fixed them back up. But a lot of the things are not going to operate and then the food stores will be cleaned out by somebody and most likely a mob. You remember during the hurricane in New Orleans, you know, the big hurricane. You remember that? You remember how the food stores got cleaned out by the people and by the mob? So what is the antidote? Well, Lord Jesus told you the antidote when he tells you the parable in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins about the lamp oil, you see. But it will apply to other things besides a lamp and a lamp oil and wicks. But you should have that. Because if the power grid goes out, then it will start to go the wrong way. And people will be fighting for food. And even if it doesn't start that way, if with a nuclear war elsewhere even, then that can cause nuclear war. All right, and then you can have, just if nothing else, like you have now, the beginnings of no fertilizer being shipped from Russia. The large wheat crop, the large barley, the large wheat and corn and things from Ukraine, which is a large country. And those things, I think they make up maybe a close to about, those two countries make up about 20% of the wheat. Well, the U.S. has got wheat, but then we also are starting to have water problems. And then we also are having fuel costs in terms of tractors and trucks and that kind of a thing. You've got increased demand for goods with a new larger population. But you're having in a scenario to where the systems are starting to break down. And the supply chains, we've already seen that. The supply chains. You see, all of this is being engineered. By who? By people who have trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. And they operate in a group of people together to forward their ideas, which are a new world order, ordo ab chaos, create the chaos, create the mass chaos, which demands the order. And I started knowing about the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Group and all that stuff back in the 70s. So I'm not trying to tell you about that, or I don't have a good book for you to go to. All of this stuff has been known and extant for quite some time. Now, young people, you may just be getting exposed to it. Younger people might. And go and look it up. But I'm going to tell you, it's right in front of your face. And when Klaus Schwab says, by 2030, you will own nothing, and you will like it. Well, Mr. Klaus Schwab over there in Dubai or Davos or wherever you're going to be or wherever you're at this time, spewing and spouting your Lord Lucifer and your Lord Rothschild's bullcrap, Well, let me tell you something there, old Schwabby Bobby. You Luciferian scumbag. Maybe we need in this fourth, as you call it, fourth industrial revolution, maybe we need to put robots in for control of governments. Robots who then control billions of dollars, all right? We could have robotic Schwabs, robotic Rothschilds, robotic Rockefellers, robotic Turnun Taxes, robotic Queen Elizabeth, or this one, or that one, or the other one. Robotic Bidens. Oh, we may already have that. You never know. But, Klaus, let's take all of your money, and we're going to make you see how you're going to enjoy it while you go to hell and burn forever in the plasma fire. And you ain't going to like it. But let's go ahead and get your cash, Klaus. Let's take your money, and then you are not going to own anything. I think that's what should happen here. And that will happen because I'm going to tell you, old Klaus, you're listening to Lucifer himself saying, oh, you tell him this, we're going to institute this communist system. And that's what it is. They want to introduce the common, you know, the communist system with the nomenclatura. The nomenclatura, those on the list, those on the nomenclature on the list that get the caviar and the champagne and who speak France and who speak about oligarchy and wonderment and all of this and have $750 million yachts, you see, while they've still stolen the stuff from the poor old Russian proletariat, right? Well, Klaus, let's get your cash, Klaus, and send you straight to hell. How about that? That's where you belong, because you worship old Lucifer the Lightbringer. He's telling you that you're going to be one of his right-hand men for producing this great reset. Well, let me just read a little bit here real quick. Out of this Civil War II again. Here we go. I'll just jump into it. You'll understand what I'm trying to say when I read this. The point of these computations is to give some idea of the impact of this vast artillery range that will slice up America. The front. All the people living in the front will be displaced. Displacement because they will be subject to intermittent artillery bombardment. Are we seeing this in Ukraine? Yes, we are. To put a human face on these numbers, consider that this artillery range is about the same size and area and population as the states of Kentucky, Louisiana, and West Virginia combined. He's talking about a total length of a front will be in excess of about 3,000 miles east to west, okay? And there will be some north and south divides in different areas, but let's just say it this. Now he says, now consider the impact that the appearance of this front will have. It is clear that if the above three states were turned into artillery ranges, today it would plunge America into a severe recession. And about 10 million people would be displaced and would become refugees. And all the production of the factories and farms of these states would be lost. You're starting to see the parallel, either destroyed outright or completely idle. As there would be no workers to operate them. Now consider that all railroads, all power lines, highways, and various pipelines crossing the front will be cut. Operation and transport costs for all businesses will soar. See, he's talking about a civil war in the United States, but it's also describing perfectly what's going on right now to a great degree. The front will be an apocalyptic landscape of smashed buildings, burnt homes, downed bridges, and cut power lines. Weeds will overgrow all. Former pet dogs now abandoned, and feral will roam in packs, many of them rabid. Clouds of mosquitoes will breed in numerous shell holes. Bleached human bones, covered with shards of cloth, will be seen here and there. And at places there will be mass graves, all unmarked and mostly forgotten after the soldiers that build them are likewise killed. As a prudent mental exercise, every reader of this book should consider his proximity to this future front. If Civil War II started tomorrow, my home, this guy says, in northwest New Jersey, for example, would be within artillery range of Dover, New Jersey, which might very well be under the control of Hispanic militias. Where would they get their artillery? Well, there are a number of National Guard armories and Federal Military Reserve armories in the greater New York area that do have tanks and artillery pieces stored on their premises. That's where they will get them. In addition, they might succeed in capturing some of the large U.S. Navy vessels that frequently dock in New York at Harbor. They might receive them from foreign governments sympathetic to their cause. So then he goes on into the four phases of Civil War II. But are you seeing the parallels of what's being done or what's being engineered right now in the Ukraine and in Russia, and then also then all of the political and the economic sanctions and the going for, and what are they trying to do? This great reset, the new world order, what they're trying to do is to destroy those they feel that will give them problem, meaning them, meaning the bankers. They have a very strong nationalistic Putin, who's one of the richest people on the planet. And he's got nuclear weapons. Well, Klaus and all the people in the Great Reset, they're talking in Dubai, and I know Brother Steve Quayle at stevequayle.com put up one of the stories about it yesterday. Let me see if I can click on it. I'll tell you what the name of that story was, because it's quite interesting. And it was Klaus Schwab calls on the global leaders to form world governance. Schwab said that the fourth industrial revolution has arrived. World Economic Forum. Neon Nettle had it on, and Steve put this up on his site, Neon Nettle. And he said that the time has come for world governments to unite as one and tackle global problems such as climate change, trade, and economic disruption. During the keynote speech, the opening day World Government Summit in Dubai, Schwab said the world can only be improved by more government cooperation at more levels. And he said the fourth industrial revolution has arrived and enduring change is on the way. And then he outlined it. He says the impact of the fourth industrial revolution accelerates global change in a much more comprehensive and faster way than previous industrial revolutions. Despite all the challenges, we have to uphold the responsibility we have towards the next generation through collaborations on a national and global level. And then he's talking about our futures are intrinsically connected, and that requires collaborative response. Remember in the old days, Bush and all those guys, they used to have to say the word interdependence was the buzzword. And then he's talking about the world is to overcome not only the damage done to our economies and our societies by COVID-19, which your labs and the NIH and Fauci financed the Red Chinese Labs, and also at the in North Carolina, and in you know, the old Army Germ Warfare Lab and places like that, and created it. And you talked about it before it happened, and then the repercussion of a dangerous clash between major global powers. He says, our world today is why governments need to act now. And one of the things is, one of the big changes is that he's saying that the day of the human robots is over. You no longer need it as a human robot. We're going to have real robots to do all your work, all your jobs, but then we'll give you the opportunity to live communally with your fellow man in nice Section 8 housing or what have you, where you live in groups. And, you know, it takes a village to raise the family, or it takes a family to raise the village, or it takes Walt Disney World and places like that to turn your kids into a queer. You see what I'm saying? These people are in a Luciferian wonderment and delusion, you see, and they're the ones that are orchestrating with the puppet strings the stuff that is occurring in the world, in the economies, in warfare, and all of the things, with the pandemics, with the weather control and the weather weapons. And pretty soon you're going to see spaceships come in from outer space or other dimensions, you see. And they're there. We have some of them too. The mighty men of valor, they split with some of the stuff a few years back because they were more interested in America as it was, and freedom, and in Lord Jesus. And they were opposed by the black magicians, you see. Well, how do we know that? Because we, in the reading, allegedly in the past in the reading, we have seen that the Rothschild family claims descendancy from Nimrod and Semiramis, which you could look those up. S-E-M-I-R-A-M-I-S, Semiramis, Nimrod, and that they are the ones that started really creating the black magic on the planet. You see, the Bible, what it talks about is real. The Archangel Michael, the Archangel Gabriel, they're real. Lord Jesus is real. Our Father in heaven is real. Lucifer is real. And other fallen angels with him are real because they rebelled against our Father in heaven. And they wish to do blood sacrifice on this planet to destroy populations, depopulate it by any means necessary, while they live high on the Lucy Hog, you see. And they want no more than 500 million on planet Earth. It's written on the Georgia Guidestones. It's engraved. It's inscribed in the mountains up there in Georgia that were put up. Look them up and read them. You can read those. You can look it up online. Georgia Guidestones. Read all about it. But Lucifer wants to do a counterfeit. He wants to gin up all the devil power he can get, the Lucy power he can get. From those who are dying, he's going to steal your soul or attempt to. Because people, in the most part, have not turned to Lord Jesus. Have not repented of the sins and asked him to come into their heart to be their Savior. They have not prayed, our Father who art in heaven. They've not prayed that, you see. And many people have willingly given themselves over to the devil. Or they get on and they get addicted to his drugs. or the different things that he provides. And let me tell you something. We all have sinned, in a sense, have we not? And still do. We must continue to repent where we can. But Lord Jesus, if he's your Savior, he'll help to wash you clean. There's power in the blood of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. But you're going to need to prepare in terms of food, water purification, water storage. We need to look at what's happening in the Ukraine, like in Mariupol. If you had a strong basement that was hardened, if you had firearms, and you had, walls that were protected, and you were protected even against, let's say, NBC, a nuclear explosion or something there with fallout, maybe like from the Chernobyl, the radiation. And if you had 3 years of food, or 3.5 years, or if you even had another 90 days or 180 days or 1 year or even if you had 2 more days of rations, you could live another 2 days and you could pray to the Lord Jesus to assist you and to help you, to put you in touch with somebody who could help you if you could not help yourself, that will enable you to survive and to endure until the end. And more importantly, at this point, I would say that if you're prepared and Lord Jesus is your Savior, you could ask Lord Jesus, Lord, I need for you to tell me where to be. Tell me where to stand in the gap against evil, Lord. Tell me where it is. And Lord, let me get my family to a true sanctuary. Or if it be what you command me, then I'll keep them with me. And I'll train them how to fight and withstand against evil and those who would kill others and, you know, and those who would just destroy the planet. And I don't know who's going to come to your down your lane or your road, but I'm going to tell you what. I know that old Big Mac's going to do. I know what my buddy Crazy Horse is going to do. Old Crazy Horse got a buffalo gun. You know, he'll sight that sucker in just like old Tom Selleck did, you know, in that one movie. Put the old Creedmoor sight and a whole bit. He'll look that thing down range and then he can nail something out there 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards. And old Mickey Lapua, he's got optics like you can't believe. Mickey can tell you whether you need a shave or not, you know, from 1,500 yards, you know. And old Mickey Lapua, he squeezes that 338, it's going to be over and gone, you know. And then Mickey can go back to eating a cheeseburger, all right, or a plate of lasagna or whatever he's got to hand, you know, or a can of chunky soup. Or like I had the other night, I had a can of Progresso beef barley and vegetables. I love that soup. You get that and a piece of bread. And incidentally, you need to think about all-purpose flour, you know, bread flour and different things and putting some back, getting a big bag of it, using diatomaceous earth or putting them into Mylar bags, sealing them and putting the oxygen absorber in and put them in a bucket and save that stuff up, or buying it already done for you that way, or bags of rice, or even if you can't do that, do boxes of rice. I know they're more expensive, but if you can only handle 5-minute rice boxes on your shelf and that's all you got, then get that. You take some rice, you take a piece of bread. And there's, you can do sourdough bread too, so that you could continue on with the mixings or the fixings to make your sourdough bread. You can then also do the best you can in order to grow vegetables or to have, say, like dwarf fruit trees. You can get dwarf apple trees, fire lemon trees, you know, orange trees, big trees, different types of dwarf fruit trees that can be planted. And you can plant them in your yard or your, you know, maybe you live near a forest, maybe you plant them just inside the tree line, but it still gets sunlight to where they're kind of mixed in there, hidden. You can put them in big pots and grow them inside your house. Put them in the window. I knew a guy had the Meyer lemons. He had oranges. He had all kind of stuff. And he'd go over there Christmas time and pull a lemon off. So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. Lord Jesus is telling you to do it. He then goes on into Matthew 25, and he tells you to do it, to get the lamp oil, and to have the lamp oil and the lamp and the extra wicks. Why? So you can see. Maybe you can see when there is no light. Maybe you can see in a time where the sun and the moon don't give forth any light. Like a 3 days of darkness kind of a thing. Or a nuclear winter or whatever it might be. Preparation is the key, you see. You want to keep old Hawk in the air, and I hope you do. Anything is most welcome and believe me, is most needed. It can be sent, anything, Federal Reserve notes, check, a bit of silver, a bit of gold, silver quarter, silver dime, whatever it might be, silver dollar. Send it to Hawk, H-A-W-K, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. May Lord Jesus return it to you 10,000-fold. May it provide you protection for you, your family. And hello out there to Ross. May Lord Jesus provide you with medical miracles. Ross and Amy, hello to you. And all the people. Staff Sergeant Bruce, Luke, all the different folks, Maya, may Lord Jesus provide you and continue to provide you with medical miracles. And to my good friend in Dunlap, my good friends all over the United States, my tough grandma who loves Jesus down in Florida, who bought the methamphetamine head. And he said, oh, no, mister, this is my purse. You leave it alone. And Lord Jesus, send somebody to help me. She called on Lord Jesus and immediately there was an old retired Caucasian white prison guard. There was a young black man and a young Hispanic man, and they grabbed that methamphetamine head and jerked him out of the car, threw him to the ground and body slammed him and sat down right on top of him till the cops came. Because Lord Jesus answered her prayers. Lord Jesus tells you in John 14, if you ask in his name, and his name is Jesus, by the way, you ask in his name, he will do it. Keep his commandments. And by all means, you let people know that there's power in the blood of Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you what, Brother Steve Quayle, 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. Steve Quayle has got wonderful books. His Mega Drought DVD, you should get that. Any of the books to explain to the children and to people and your neighbors what's going on and why it's happening and what's getting ready to come with the giants and the aliens and all of the different stuff and the return and the exposure. Not only the return, but visualizing and seeing the fallen angels and the entire cacophony of demonic crap that's getting ready to go on this planet. Why? Because people refuse to turn their eyes to our Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, Lord Jesus. Brother Quail can also get you still. He's got on hand, he's got gold and silver if you need that. But Brother Quail would tell you that if you don't have your regular preps of food and water and ammunition and nuclear biological chemical gear, or C-burn if you're new and improved that way of saying it, medical supplies, warm clothing, camping gear, stacks of firewood, whatever it might be, a small solar installation to give you a little bit of light and to run a radio or to charge batteries. If you're not doing that, then you're going to be in a situation where it's going to be you against somebody else, and there's only one piece of bread left, and they're both looking at it, and you got five guys or three guys or three women looking at it, and everybody's got a butter knife or a kitchen knife, and you all run for that last loaf of bread or piece of bread at the same time. You can also, if you want, while there's still time, there are still people really hungry for the word of the Lord Jesus. The Nunamakers. The Nunamakers have the Indochina Bible Project. Many of you have given a little bit of what you had to them, and there's been, you know, books made in the tribal languages of the Montagnards, the mountain people, in Indochine, you know, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, and the various countries in the mountains, okay? Each one of the villages will have a different dialect, a different language in a sense. So, look them up. Gospel Furthering Fellowship, 221 Hamilton, Myerstown, Pennsylvania, 17067. Indochina Bible Project. Ladies and gentlemen, may Lord Jesus protect you against all evil. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. Use your high technology to strike blows against the enemies of Lord Jesus. And against the evil that's on the planet, that you know where they're at. Make sure old Klaus Schwab gets burned in the plasma fire and sent to the fiery lake. Or Zorro, or whoever it is. Bandanga Rangers, I know you're ready out there and you're pretty prepared. Check in with Lieutenant Tanner. Mickey LaPua, maybe. General McCormick's looking for you tonight. He says he'll meet you out back near the Lanai. Rico and Thomas, Little L. May the Lord Jesus protect you.